Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2018 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to our nine-month third quarter conference call. I will start, as usual, commenting revenues, and I will make my initial remarks at constant exchange rate since, as you know, the currency fluctuation had a relevant impact on our business in the first nine months of 2018. Moreover, let me remind you that the performance which has been registered this year includes the positive contribution from the fact that we had nine months of revenues coming from the Siemens ELISA business, which was acquired in September 2017. At the group level, our revenue grew by 9.1% in the first nine months as a result of the solid sales performance of our Clea test, net of vitamin D, and the ELISA business, which has been acquired by Siemens. This positive trend of the Clea XV was partially mitigated by some negative trends that I think we have already discussed in previous calls. One is the vitamin D volume decline, mainly in the U.S. market as a consequence of the change in reimbursement policies by some of the insurers, and slowdown in revenues of the Nurix ELISA business in certain geographies, mainly in distribution and in Brazil. This is associated to two events, delay of certain large tenders in one side, and as far as Brazil is concerned, the fact that some of the distributors are supplying public tenders in Brazil had issues of credit collection, and therefore, as a consequence, we have frozen some of these distributors waiting for them to address the problem with the government. So we have actually stopped shipping some of these ELISA to these distributors. Let's talk about vitamin D. As far as vitamin D is concerned, as I already commented in the last financial conference call in August, starting from Q2 this year, we have seen a change in pace, mainly due to a recent policy change with one insurance company in the U.S. market. Let me remind you that when we experience on the market a change in the reimbursement policy, we also usually see a reduction of prescription from physician, which is then translated in lower volumes in a period of 12 to 18 months, and Australia has experienced something similar two years ago. This is certainly related to the fact that doctors that are recommended not to test or to limit testing of vitamin D compared to what they used to do when these measures were not in place. We have no visibility at this point on this trend. We are starting to acquire some visibility, certainly in the last month or so. As we have discussed previously, our current, what we see currently in the U.S. market is that we expect that the vitamin D volume may decline up to 18%-20% over the next 12 to 18 months, but it's a matter of just waiting and seeing what was the reaction in the market. Let's talk about the other geographies, and let's start about Europe. When it comes to Europe, with a solid growth, 14% in the first nine months, Europe proved once again to be a strong contributor to our group revenues, and this is certainly thanks to the vast install base, the availability of all the products in this region. As far as the fact that we have initiated the sales of QuantiFERON, certainly not in Q3, but we initiated the commercialization of the product, and we expect to see a benefit starting from Q4. Now, specifically, Italy grew by 9%, France grew by 16%. It means that in some very key geographies, the business is certainly moving fast. Germany grew 23%. Certainly, this is related mainly to the fact that a lot of Siemens additional business was added in this geography. We have inherited through Siemens roughly 800 accounts throughout Europe, of which 60% were in German-speaking countries. We are working on the conversion of these accounts from ELISA to the Liaison. We have 3 years to accomplish conversion. Roughly 10% of the accounts have been already converted, and we have 50% of the accounts in the pipeline, so we expect roughly 50% conversion by the end of 2019. Per se, the ELISA business is flat, the Siemens business we inherited net of conversion. Now let's talk about North America. Certainly, as we discussed before, this geography is where we are experiencing the vitamin D issue, and I'm not going to talk about this any longer, but by the same token, we had a continuous growth of Clia XD with a growing install base in the hospital and mid-sized labs of the Liaison XL. And the net-net of the decline of vitamin D, but the increase of revenues of Clia XD pretty much flattens out this geography. Okay, so the growth of the XD is able to counterbalance the decline of D, but overall the U.S. is flat. We have... In the U.S., the good news is that we were able to find an agreement with Meridian, and this we got the approval by the FDA of the H. pylori product, and as a consequence of that, we have launched recently this assay in the U.S. in conjunction with Meridian to go and rapidly convert all the existing customer base of Meridian from aging ELISA to the Liaison version of the product. As far as Asia-Pacific is concerned, this region grew 16% in the first 9 months, and certainly the driver is China, is Clia XD in China, which is growing strongly. We are talking about 16% growth of Clia XD, of Clia overall, because also vitamin D is growing strongly in China. And this trend is consistent what we have announced in the last conference call. So please consider, as we have discussed before, that by the same token, changing business model where we don't sell instrument to distributors any longer, but we try to place in reagent rental to drive placement into the class 2 market, we have a decrease in instrument revenues. Instrument revenues typically for DiaSorin clearly bears much lower profitability. This is a must for us because it's the only way to control actually the shift of focus of distributors in China from class 3 to class 2. But the overall business, the underlying business, again, Clia does benefit from it, as I said, growth of 16%. Now, let's talk about the 2018 guidance. So we confirm a revenue growth at 9% at constant exchange rate and EBITDA growth at 12%. However, we would like to underline a couple of aspects of the business which have to do with the fact that in quarter four, there are two events that may shift revenues from one quarter to the other. The first one is Iran, and it has to do with the fact that for us, Iran is a very relevant geography, and recently, actually yesterday, a series of measures have been published by the U.S. government, and so we need to understand how to continue to supply this market and through which bank system we can continue to operate, since, as you know, a lot of international banks actually stopped operating in Iran. And the second one is a very large tender, some of which have been, which entails chunk of instrumentation, some of which have been shipped in Q3, but there is a large installment of that has to happen, and we forecast to have it made in Q4. But clearly, since it is a lot of instrumentation, we need to understand when that if that can be fully completed in quarter four. Now, before giving the microphone to Mr. Pedron, I would like to conclude my comment with a couple of remarks. First one is to do with new products. We have launched so far four CLIA tests, and we have one additional part in the pipeline, which we believe we're going to launch in Q4, and then six new molecular products. So far, so good in terms of continuing the effort of launching or delivering new products to the market. Talking about business development, we, as you know, have provided lots of color to different projects. The one that I would like to stress is QIAGEN and the collaboration about TB. We have successfully launched the TB in Europe. That actually happened at the end of September. So we are today engaged in the initial conversion of customers together with QIAGEN from ELISA to the Liaison version. I know Pierre Schatz did provide colors and comments during his Q3 conference call, so I actually invite you to go and check what he said. Things are going well, and I think the two companies are now working together to enlarge the scope of the collaboration and add more content to this line, which we deem as strategic. And we also deem strategic to enlarge menu availability on the Liaison system with QuantiFERON application. And it has been made public that the next in line for us is Lyme. A Lyme disease product that we are currently running preclinical testing to verify claims and applicability. But fundamentally, the two companies are aligned in terms of dedicating R&D money and effort to bring forward new application on the Liaison system. Now I would actually give the microphone to Mr. Pedron, who is going to take it through the numbers, and then we're going to take questions. Gigi.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon, everybody. In the next few minutes, I'm going to walk you through the financial performance of DSR during the first 9 months of 2018, and would also make some remarks on the contribution of the third quarter. So that, as usual, I would like to start with what I believe are the main highlights of the period. The strengthening of the euro against all the currencies in which we operate has generated some notable FX headwind on revenues during these first 9 months of the year, almost 18 million euro, even if, as expected, the impact has been negligible in quarter three compared to half one. This variance has been mainly driven by two currencies, the U.S. dollar, which depreciated by 7%, and the Brazilian real, minus 22% year-to-date. Considering the U.S. trend in 2017 and where we are now, I think it is fair to say that also in Q4, like in Q3, we should not expect a material FX headwind. Moving to the second point, we closed September year-to-date 18 with an increase in revenues at constant exchange rate of 9.1%, or almost €43 million, whereas the growth in the quarter has been 9.5%. September year-to-date EBITDA at €187.1 million recorded an increase at constant exchange rate compared to last year of 7.5%, with a margin at comparable exchange rate of 38.3% versus 38.9% of 2017. Quarter 3 EBITDA at €58.9 million increased by 6.8% at constant exchange rate vis-à-vis last year. Please note that September 18 EBITDA margin, net of the expenses we booked for the legal action in the U.S. with Meridian, now settled, and net of detail of the Irish site divestiture cost, would have been in line with what we recorded last year. Lastly, we closed September with a strong free cash flow, about €101 million, and a very healthy positive net financial position, just short of €130 million. The net financial position has been affected by the payment of the ordinary dividends for €47 million in May and by a shares buyback program for about €65 million. Please remind that the net financial position does not include €98 million of debt towards shareholders for the extraordinary dividends, which will be paid out in December 2018. Let's now go through the main items of the P&L. September year-to-date revenues at €494 million grew by 5.4%, or about €25 million compared to last year. The growth at constant exchange rate is 9.1%, or €42.8 million. Carlo has already covered the business drivers behind this variance. Gross profit at €336 million grew by 5.1% compared to last year, closing the first 9 months of 2018 with a ratio over revenues of 68%, which is basically in line with 2017. In spite of dilutive effect of the Siemens ELISA sales and of the price pressure on vitamin D. This performance, which is slightly better than what we originally expected, is mainly driven by higher manufacturing efficiencies and better geographical and product mix. Q3 18 gross margin at 67.1% of revenues is substantially in line with last year. The reduction compared to the previous quarters, which we also experienced in quarter three of the last couple of years, is mainly driven by the product mix and by the seasonality of our business, which usually sees lower activities in some geographies, especially in Europe, during the summer months. Total operating expenses at €179.8 million, or 36.4% of revenues, have increased by 5.7% compared to the first 9 months of last year. Please remember that about €11 million of September year-to-date OPEX have been driven by the depreciation of the intangible assets coming from the Siemens, ELISA, and Focus business acquisitions. Net of these elements, the year-to-date OPEX increase at constant exchange rate versus last year would have been 8.5%, and the ratio on revenues would have been 34.1% against 34.3% of 2017. September year-to-date other operating expenses at €6.9 million have increased by €2.1 million compared to last year. As just said, the period has been affected by some expenses related to the legal action in the U.S. with Meridian and by the tail of the Irish site divestiture costs. As a result of what just described, September year-to-date EBIT at €149.3 million, or 30.2% of revenues, has increased compared to 2017 by 3.1%, or €4.5 million. The growth at constant exchange rate is positive for just short of 8.5%. The tax rate at 22.2% is almost 10 percentage points better than September year-end, year-to-date 2017, which closed at 32%, and is in line with what anticipated and discussed during 2017 year-end call. This variance is mainly driven by the positive impact of the Italian patent box and the U.S. tax reform, that which we already discussed about in the previous calls. Year-to-date net results at €116.8 million, or 23.6% of revenues, is higher than previous year by €21.1 million, or 22%. This increase is the result of what said so far and of lower net financial expenses, mainly driven by a reduction in interest and FX losses compared to last year, and by the revaluation of the participation in our Indian subsidiary, following the takeover of its full control from the local partner. We also discussed about this element during last quarter call. Lastly, September year-to-date EBITDA at €187.1 million is better than last year by €5 million or 2.7%. The variance at constant exchange rate is positive by 7.5%. The EBITDA ratio on revenues is 37.9% at current exchange rate and 38.3% at constant exchange rate, thus confirming the strong profitability recorded in the last quarters. Quarter 3 EBITDA margin at 36.2% of sales has been affected mainly by two elements: the impact of the one-off cost just described, and some seasonality in sales, again Europe, mainly Europe, and some product mix. Please remind that Q4 17 was materially affected by the Irish site divestiture costs. So the growth of Q4 18 over Q4 17 is going to be more material than what we have recorded here to date. Let me now please move to the net financial position and the free cash flow. We closed the period with a positive net financial position of €128.8 million and about €141 million in cash. The net financial position has been affected by two main elements: the payment of the ordinary dividend for €47 million in May and the shares buyback program for €65 million. As said, the net financial position does not include €98 million debt towards shareholders for the extraordinary dividends, which we will be paying out shortly in December. In the period, the group generated €101 million free cash flow, vis-à-vis €97 million in 2017. Lastly, in view of the group operating performance, the management confirms 2018 guidance for both revenues and EBITDA, with a growth at constant exchange rate of around 9% for revenues and 12% for EBITDA. As just mentioned by Carlo, please note that this guidance might be negatively affected by the delay to 2019 of some tenders originally foreseen for Q4 18, which should took place in geographies which are served by our distributors network. Now let me please turn the line to the operator to open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Costco conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Romain Zana of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Squeezing me in. The first question, and sorry if I missed that during the call, is just a clarification of the organic growth component for the group in Q3. The second question is regarding QuantiFERON TB, and I was wondering if you would commit, let's say, on at least a range of the incremental growth that it could bring to your revenue growth in 2019. And just also clarification regarding the comment you made regarding some potential postponements of revenues in Q4. I'm referring to Iran, for example. Does it mean that you could actually miss the current guidance, but it could be an add-on to next year, or it won't be material enough, let's say, to jeopardize the current guidance. Thank you.
Okay. So I will comment on the second and the third question, and then PG will cover the first. On the fact on TB and contribution 2019, you need to wait for the 2019 guidance and the plan that we, the new 3S plan, which we plan to discuss in the first half, and we certainly is going to give more color to the what we expect on from TB. As far as the comment on Q4, look, we have a significant business in Iran, and what we are trying to understand, and this is because the U.S. Just came up yesterday with a list of banks which have been blacklisted. We need to understand how financially we can continue our business in Iran. So far, we expect that looking at the list of banks, we will be able to continue with some of the current banks, and then we'll be able to make complete shipments in Q4. But I'm just warning that in case we need to move to different banks, it may take time, and that means that our regular business and our regular shipments in Q4 would be moved to Q1. That has nothing to do, certainly, with losing business, but it has to do with the fact that some significant portion of sales, significant for the quarter, would be moved from one quarter to the other. The other one is to do with a very large blood bank tender that that entails sale of a large quantity of systems, some of which already happened in Q3, but some is scheduled to happen in Q4. And again, we are waiting for instruction, and we need to understand whether this is going to happen in Q4 or is going to happen in Q1. So we are saying these are events that should not impact our revenues, but there is a shift of these extraordinary components that may be shifted from Q4 to Q1. Now, as far as organic growth?
Yeah. Hello. Organic growth, both in Q3 and year-to-date, was around 4 to 4.5%. And I believe I didn't mention it in my call. That's why you didn't pick it up.
Okay. Thank you. Just a short follow-up on Iran. What is the sales exposure of the group to this country?
No, we don't. It's a sensitive information. We don't share this information.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Ruzic of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks for taking my question. Just a quick one from me. I was wondering how many of the Siemens accounts you had currently converted from Eliza to Clea, I guess percentage-wise. And as well, just on the large system order to better understand if that slips to Q1. I guess in terms of a percentage of revenues, can you quantify that or be a bit more clear? Thanks.
Let's talk about the conversion. I think I provided some data. I said that we converted today 10% of the customer base. And we have in the funnel 50% conversion by year-end, year-end meaning 2019. Okay, so we expect to convert up to 50 by end of 2019, which it means that we will have 1.5 year to convert the remaining accounts. Certainly, the weight in terms of revenues is not 50-50 because we are converting in phase one larger accounts, so you're going to have the revenues is going to outweigh in terms of the number of accounts converted. As far as I think the question was can you repeat the second question?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could quantify the system order for Q4, how important that was for the revenues, perhaps percentage-wise, if that were to slip to Q1.
Unfortunately, cannot do it because this is part of a transaction which involves Siemens, is part of the Siemens business that we inherited, so cannot share.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Maja Pataki with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a couple of follow-up questions, and I'm sorry if I'm asking you probably the same questions again, Carlo. The potential postponement into Q1, it's related to Iran and to what would be the second reason? I wasn't quite sure whether everything is down to Iran or there's another reason. My second question would be around your molecular performance, which came in below what I was expecting, and you did discuss that at the first half results, a bit of a seasonality in molecular. I was wondering if you could give us an update and how we should think about it maybe going into Q4. And then the last question would be really relating, since you're giving us an indication that there could be a shipment or like a postponement of some revenues moving into Q1, would you confirm nevertheless the 2019 guidance, and then we would just have to add Q1 on top of that? Would that be the right way to look at it? Thank you.
Okay, so I said that there are two events, very different. First one is has to do with Iran, and again, and I think we covered that. Second one has to do with a very large tender in blood bank in Asia, and this includes, and this is part of the Siemens business we inherited. And we cannot quantify, it's a significant business. Is done through partnership, and therefore we cannot provide more details. So the question on the table is whether shipments will happen in Q4 or will happen in Q1. That's there.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so we are just moving from one
yes,
quarter
understood. Okay.
To the other quarter. As far as that's clearly if this is shifted to Q1 is additional business to what we foresee for 2019.
I mean, you know, we have now, the world has gone a bit slightly crazy. And, you know, you talk about issues also in Brazil due to debt collection and, you know, stopping for the moment with some orders. We're seeing Iran. We're seeing this large order in Asia. Do you still feel that 2019, that your guidance that you've provided 3 years ago for 2019, that are you still comfortable with that?
Look, Maya, the 2019 guidance, I think if you do it at plain exchange rate, okay, so which is already a complication, entails a growth next year of 10%, okay? And what are the factors, the add-on factors, and what are the risks? The add-on factor is certainly understanding that we have a base business today net of new initiatives, and a new initiative would be launch of stool in the U.S. and with the Meridian conversion of the Meridian business, the launch of Quantiferon and launch of the nuclear products. So we have an intrinsic growth rate of the business which sits around 5%. Okay, and then to that you need to add the component, the organic growth provided by again TB and the stool. So the question, in my opinion, for 2019 is more to do with where vitamin D in the U.S. is going to go. Because today I'm making a projection which is based on data that we are seeing today, and I'm also making projection on what we have seen in other geographies. So I'm guesstimating that within a certain period of time, vitamin D volume may go down between 18% and 20%. Okay, and then I think, as we have discussed already, from previous experience, I expect that volume will bounce back. And I always refer to what happened in Australia, very similar situation. Measures were put in, reimbursement was cut, which is very exactly the same as in the U.S., and then eventually bounced back. The volume bounced back in the following 2 years. But, yeah, there is a hit that you take when it goes down. So the effect of this in 2019, in my opinion, is still to be seen and evaluated, and this is why we are careful. From what we see today, I believe that the 2019 guidance that we have given, provided that, again, we have good outcome from TB, which is starting well, very well, and the viability in this transaction with Meridian, which pretty much is opening up the U.S. market to H. pylori, working with Meridian conversion, I have a positive feeling about 2019 and the guidance.
Great. And on molecular?
I'm sorry, yes. Question number two was about molecular. You see, the problem with molecular is that, as you know, as I've discussed a few times, we bought a molecular business which has two components. One is ASR, famous ASR. The other one are the kits. As far as we don't break it down, but as far as kits are concerned, there is a growth which is significant. We have a 20% growth worldwide of this product line. Then you have the ASR, where ASR, you really are at the mercy of the end user, which, guess what, very large end users are the very large labs in the U.S. that they use it for LDT. And there you see dynamics which are difficult, honestly, to predict, because LDT means that they develop their own tests, so you don't have difficult to understand and project efficiency. So how much of your reagents are actually turned into assays that they report, and therefore consumption. So historically, when we bought this business, the ASR in the U.S. was growing double digit. Okay, what we have seen this year is that this ASR component is not growing. Actually, specifically with one account, is declining. And the net effect is that we are diluting the growth of what is the strategic business, which is the kit business. It's still less than 10% of our overall business, so it does not have a great impact, plus or minus, on the growth. It's very positive on the kit side. There is this ASR component, which is difficult, honestly, to predict. Great cash cow. Not necessarily so strategic, but it's diluting sometimes the good result of the kit.
Thank you very much. Carla, at the second quarter call, you were kind of expecting that the ASR business would, at some point in time, see an acceleration in this year. Just, you know, as you pointed out, the lumpiness and the big customers. But do you still believe that at some point in time we're going to see a turn of it, or do you think this is something that is going to remain sluggish?
I think it will not. My expectation in 2019 is that this is not going to be a drag. And the reason being that there is a large contract that was awarded to us. They are doing validation, again, some of the big labs. And these should cover some of the negative impact that we're seeing from reduction of use by other accounts. So in my projection, ASR should not be a drag, should probably continue to grow slow, in low single digit. And I see it as a cash cow, and this would allow clearly the kit performance to be more visible. Keep in mind that we have the influenza syndrome, as everybody else. So we are carefully watching what is going to happen with the influenza this year. You know, was a light season in the Pacific, And I think we're all waiting to see how the influenza will do in this winter. And so it does impact, I think, the business of a lot of companies that actually play into the molecular space, ex-blood banks.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Michael Ruzic of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick follow-up for me. I think the market has been kind of spooked by these potential delays in Q4. I think it would be really helpful, maybe not splitting them out, but just together, if you could quantify in terms of a headwind, if both were to go in the negative case and flip to Q1, do you think it would be a 1% headwind to sales? Does that feel about right? Or would it be more or less? Thanks.
More or less 1 percentage point.
Okay, thanks a lot. Very helpful.
Welcome.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator.